We gonna drop this next bomb for a money-making player that ain't with us no more.
Yeah, Notorious B.I.G.
Hell no! We gonna do this for a gang-banging thug that never seen it coming.
Yeah, Tupac Shakur.
Nah, bitch! I'm talking about motherfucking
T.C. and Jake.
And shit.
Jake, you just got a glow about you since baseball season started.
It was fun last night.
I know how much you love baseball.
I mean, I'm going to try this year. My stated position is that I will pay attention when they're good. And I watched a good amount of their games down the stretch last year. But I, you know, first half of the season, I wasn't paying attention for shit.
They were good then?
They probably had a better record
in the first half than the second half.
They probably did, but I wasn't really taking it seriously. Because it's like, yeah, whatever. It kind of came out of nowhere, but they got me now.
Other big news, did you see there's a See Me movie?
I did.
That's exciting.
And I'm very excited.
Real Bros of See Me Valley, I would say it has to be our favorite internet series. I don't even know if there are any other internet series.
Bugman might be in the mix.
A second favorite Facebook Live show?
Well, if it's just internet series, you got to throw the Bugman and the Autist in there.
Yeah.
But outside of that,
I love the Adam Friedland show.
And Tatro's kind of blown up.
Yeah, for sure. As well he should. All of them should. They're all fucking great.
He's appeared in Tacoma FD.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big one. This show that I'm learning about for the first time.
Well, right, I just thought it fit in with our love for Chicago Med, Fire, Police, Waste.
Megan and I turned on the YouTube TV account a couple nights ago, and she was like, what the fuck is this? Why is there Chicago Fire in Chicago, whatever the police one is, PD?
I don't know. Probably, yeah.
I don't think it's just called Chicago Police. But it is just called Chicago Fire. It's like, how the fuck is this in our library? And then I remember that we share the account with my brother. So apparently he's in on Chicago night.
Yeah, Chicago. It's just called Chicago PD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
If you need Chicago night updates, give him a call.
It is a bit weird. This is a first world problem, and it's not even a problem, but when you know, we use the same account for the lake.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. You have fucking weirdos that you've never met. Be like,
yeah,
I want to record my shows.
And apparently somebody was also stoked on Shogun over the weekend, because we're in that now. I'm three episodes in, and they had like already finished the whole season. And I was like, man, I must have been fucked up. I don't remember watching like 4, 5, 6, 7.
Man. You guys are generous hosts. I think I'd leave them out in the fucking cold. I don't want people messing up which episodes I've seen and shit.
Well, what I want is the money. So anything you can do to make people more likely to give you money.
They don't know whether or not before. No one makes Airbnb decisions based on guessing whether or not you leave the Hulu logged in.
No, but you say, hey, this TV has access to YouTube TV. We have an account. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Because we don't have cable. People will ask, like, can my kids watch TV?
Mm-hmm.
You got to give them something.
It's weird.
Funny,
I would
never
message someone. I would never message an Airbnb host like that.
Oh, you have no idea, dude.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just think of your Uber situation and transfer
I just
it. Dude, we get some.
People do
wild,
a lot of things I wouldn't do.
We get some, you know, obviously. The lake story that everybody knows is the outside mm-hmm, table, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. It's the shit that she shows me.
Anything else sex related?
No, we did feel there was one that seemed like pretty orgy-ish.
Mm-hmm. Love that. But keep it inside the house. It's fine.
Like, based on the number of guests and none of them had the same last name type thing. And it was just like, looking through their account, it just seemed kind of, there was a lot of people, and they needed it for one night.
That's weird.
There were some other details that I'm probably not recalling, but now a funny one was my brother, known password grifter, When I was at his house last in New Orleans, I think it was his Netflix, which was his ex-girlfriend from Vegas's account. And it was...
That's wild.
Yeah, people do this. People do this.
I wonder if she knows. Like,
here's the thing.
Yeah.
The recently viewed, recommended for you library was primarily like Love Island.
Yeah.
Some HGTV show type shows. Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm.
Selling Sunset and all this sort of shit. And then it was like Stavi, Shane Gillis, you know, clips of Gillian Keeves that are on YouTube. And we were just sitting there thinking like, I wonder if it's dawning on her the polar opposites, like when she gets like Mark Norman recommended to her.
Yeah. Now so, he needs to make his own profile.
I think he eventually had to.
Yeah.
I think he eventually had to. It kind of reminds me of, this is an odd end around, but for a while, Wade was using my YouTube TV. And oddly enough, it was because Wade, in his endless quest to be viewed as European, got really into like the World Cup.
Oh.
But he did, dude, he goes to like Timbers games.
That's too far. That's way too far.
You would enjoy going to a Timbers game, even just once. You would fucking love it.
I guess so, dude. But it's he doesn't like sports.
He got into soccer.
Well, that's that. Like, if I it's different. If I would like going to a Timbers game, I like going to Cowboys games.
Yeah.
If you asked Wade, do you want to go to a Cowboys game? He'd be like, no, I'm above it.
Yeah, that's where soccer comes in. It is worth noting that he was a dominant football player.
Yeah, but would like wear Washington Redskins gear because he liked the look of it.
That's also true. But he was using our YouTube TV account for a while, and I'd see like weird recordings and stuff. But that kind of took me back to when I was in college, and he didn't go to class. Mm-hmm. And so when I would come home from school, I had a desktop computer. I might have also had like a really shitty laptop for the library.
Hauling a desktop computer to school is a thing that a lot of people used to have to do, and Jesus, it sucks.
It definitely sucked. You were always worried that the CPU was just going to get fucked.
Yeah,
like it just clanging around
because you were like, living with fucking drifters.
Just even when you're transporting it,
their fucking pet possum's going to get in there, chew on some wires.
I mean, almost without fail, when I would come home, there would be a very choppy version of internet showing like two guys just fucking.
Is it Diddy and Meek Mill?
And he wouldn't be in there. You know, he'd be in the living room and I'm like, okay, did it again. Gay porn on my computer again. Which I suppose is not, I want to say that's a very juvenile prank, and it is. But sometimes whenever I would leave the room at the ticket, I would come back in on my laptop with Dan just kind of standing in the back with a shit-eating grin on his face, and it would just be like Minnie Mouse, like, sucking off Mickey.
Yeah, mytinydick.com was a favorite for a long time.
Yeah.
For Dan. Typing into other people's
and my computer faced like the big window that they would bring clients by. And our boss for that matter.
Yeah,
so maybe Diddy. I don't know.
Could be.
This thing is it's unraveling, DC.
Yeah. And I mean, I texted you. I think that all of this, you could just have a deeper conversation if I think I said this last time, if I read the allegations in that producer's lawsuit, but I just haven't had the time. Been too busy setting up Ranger Buddies. Just a lot of commitments, you know?
Sure. When did we debut?
Yesterday. Thanks.
Oh, sorry.
It was opening day.
Oh, I thought, so you're doing it every Thursday or every...
It's not a fixed day. We couldn't do a fixed day, really, because of what with all these oatmeal pizza commitments.
Did you actually say on the Dumb Zone the other day that you were definitely starting opening day night?
Yes.
Okay, I missed that.
I mean, I probably could have emphasized it more, you know. If but you want I wouldn't to say have been it, able. I didn't communicate it in the way. Yeah, no, and I think, yeah, I mean.
I had to get audio for that one. But yeah. For future games where I don't really care about the audio, I'm in. I mean, I watched it on my computer anyways.
Next one is this Tuesday when they play the Rays. We'll be rolling with that one.
That Rays rotation.
It's going to be hard, but, you know, the hitters might be up to it. I thought the offense, I was hoping for more last night, but I guess, especially in wins, you can't just, you know, be demanding that it's 9 runs a night. It's not realistic.
Somebody posted, like, their performance against Steele before, and it's not so good.
Yeah. But, hey.
This has been baseball talk.
We solved that problem eventually, didn't we?
What do you mean?
It got him hurt.
Oh, yeah.
It's a fun way to beat a pitcher. Just cause him to pop his hamstring. It's an ethical way to play the game. But yeah, I don't know. I've loved all of the Diddy coverage. I expect that obviously there's more to come. It's a little wild to me. He's still in the wind, right?
Why?
Do we know for certain that they are attempting to arrest him, or do they just have a search warrant for his house and once they get whatever they need at the house for the time being, he's free to go about whatever he wants to do?
I think it's probably going to be more of a public hanging, but I do think there's a chance he gets arrested and they may have to Capone him, you know? Where, like, they know all this shit is out there, but the stuff they can prove from the documents they took is financial.
Yeah, which, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, but no, I mean, dude, just going through all those, I've spent way too much time on this. And this one I feel way better about than Kate Middleton.
Okay.
Yeah, that in retrospect was not a good play. Even though I'm still 1% not really buying it.
I don't know why that would preclude you from making public appearances if you had a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really, like, you know, it's like you haven't shown your face in public in months. Why? To be like, well, I have cancer. Like, still, that's not an answer. You know, like, I'm sorry. But,
well, the main thing is just that
you still fucking go and do shit.
The Photoshop, makes absolutely no sense in any context.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Upon learning she has cancer, it's not like, oh, well, yeah, of course you photoshopped out a fake picture that you thought the world would think was real. I did at least hear out the schizophrenics that I follow on Twitter as to whether or not the cancer announcement video was AI. And I heard a lot from both sides. I watched some TikToks of people positive that it was. I watched some people on TikTok positive that it wasn't. And I think that it probably was a real video. But I was I was impressed by some of the evidence on the other side. The are you familiar with the account Isaac's Army?
Guess not.
Isaac Cappy was, you remember Isaac Cappy?
No.
He was like a tiny actor, like, you know, just had a couple small roles. I don't remember. I think he was in Grandma's Boy. I think that might have been his greatest level of success.
Oh, I recognize this guy.
And went on Alex Jones, I think.
Hell yeah.
And told him that Hollywood is, you know, a cabal of secret pedophiles and they must be stopped, and then killed himself. So, you know, between all that, he's a real revered figure in your more insane circles. And so there's someone that runs a Twitter account with like his face on it where they're just always throwing out the most insane shit to the point where I can't tell if it's serious or not. Like, so many of them do appear like the person earnestly believes the things they're saying, but some of them it's like, come on, dude, you got to be fucking with me. There's no way. And they published a photo where the chair or the bench that Kate Middleton's sitting on, like the slats are at like one There's like three slats on her left side and four on her right side.
Come on.
And the like, whenever you watch the video, it's like clear there. It's like a perspective trick. But like in the thing, it looks like a fake bent, like a computer generated bench. Just fun stuff. Just some fun stuff.
This guy, the Cappy guy, though, like obviously was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, this jumped off a bridge.
Yeah, and then believe it or not, the crazy guy killed himself. But then other people are like, who got to him?
Lengthy post on Instagram where he claimed he was the reincarnation of Judas Iscariot, opening up about his drug and alcohol abuse. He also apologized to Jesus Christ, Donald Trump. Not sure you have to do both. And QAnon. So, yeah, I mean, that's the, you know, I wouldn't say that's the problem. It's just that there's so many crazy people mixed in with real things that are crazy that, you know, I feel like it takes some of the piss out of it for a lot of people. But I, you know, I think we've all been, I don't know about we all, many of us have been convinced for some time now that when you get to a certain level of elitism, there's definitely some weird shit that the rest of us kind of don't know anything about going on. And a lot of it involves sex, and a lot of it involves sex that would be illegal.
Do you think Bridget Macron is a man?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I feel like that one really doesn't add up.
But that's mostly just because I don't want to believe it.
She's already like such an extreme, like you're just throwing too many things on there. It's the president of France's wife that he started dating when he was her like fucking what, like middle school?
Yeah.
Student?
Yeah.
And like, you're like, that's not crazy enough. Actually, the teacher was trans. No, dude.
Yeah.
And like how long they just the trans technology, they're basically trying to make you forget how far trans technology has progressed in our lifetimes. Like whenever, like the current president of France, so like definitely an old guy, whenever he was a fucking middle school student, there was like just that you could be super fucking convincing. No chance. It just, I don't know. I haven't given it a full investigation, but I'm now seeing the Isaac's Army post where they're trying to make the case, and I think it's a bit silly.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go there yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, dude, obviously, just watching the Diddy videos with Usher talking about being with him when he was a kid, and the Bieber stuff is so weird. And that I saw this video of Bieber talking about Billie Eilish, and the man looked like he had been when he's talking about. He's like, I just want to protect her. You know, I want her to have a good experience in this industry because I would never wish what happened to me upon anyone. And he's like, I was young and I got taken advantage of. Now, an optimist could say he means like financially, and his parents were money grubbers. But the look in his face doesn't look like it's about money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, his parents were.
Definitely. You broke up there.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, you know, his parents are like, they were like star whores.
Yeah. I assume that automatically for every single kid that becomes famous.
But not Billie Eilish, though. That's what is unique about her.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's why it's covered so endlessly is because. Yeah. Appears to be the first time in human history it's ever happened.
Yeah.
Did you have you given any attention to the Nickelodeon documentary series?
I mean, I've seen all the clips. People will post like a 10 clip thread on Twitter, but I have not watched the one of the three episodes yet.
There's four.
Four. Okay.
Not like it matters, but you know, it's damning stuff, and I've always been focused on, so like the guy, you know, I think the third episode is just Drake Bell the whole time, like detailing his experiences with Brian Peck. Are you familiar with Brian Peck? Have you ever heard that name before?
I mean, I have now.
Yeah, like I definitely had going in because whenever I did the getting obsessed about Charlie Sheen got dinged because he hired Brian on anger management. Like his official title, like the whole time, was dialogue coach. Like that's always been his job. He was, Sheen hired him as dialogue coach on anger management. And then Bryan Singer, do you recall Bryan Singer?
Yes.
He's the guy that directed X-Men and has always had, that's one of the first, kind of things of this nature that I can remember hearing. I think they did it on E! News that, he was accused of having, giant little boy parties where just everything goes. And there's two times in X-Men, there's two different cameos that Brian Peck has in X-Men movies. And then one of the director commentaries, he's just sitting there chilling. Just Bryan Singer wanted to have his good buddy to make the vibe more fun. He just wanted someone to talk to for the director commentary just to kind of get a good flow to it.
And I mean, it's probably kind of like being into soccer, right?
I guess. In what way?
Well, just I guess it's like being into soccer 15 years ago or something where it's there's not a ton of people I can talk to about this.
Yeah.
I could throw a rock and find a Cowboy fan, but this is you don't really speak the language.
Yeah. So I think that most of the time, these pedophilia type things are a shameful act that one commits alone and is dedicated to hiding from the rest of the world. I think that's the average case. I'm very interested in exceptions to that because that's when shit gets real fucking dark and you have, your classic ring. And I've always wanted to know a lot more about the Bryan Singer, Brian Peck, Charlie Sheen, that Brock Pierce guy was
from Stanford?
No, we talked about him before. He is currently a crypto.
That was Brock Turner.
That was the swimmer. Brock Pierce will hop up into different stories. I'm trying to remember. He ran for president in 2020.
Of course he did. He also played young Gordon Bombay.
Yeah, he did. I don't remember why he most recently came up in this. It was something more than he was just into crypto. He entered into some kind of big story, but it doesn't look like it's on his Wikipedia, so F me. But he was living with two other dudes, and one of them was much older than him and whoever else he was with, and they were accused of all kinds of pedophilia things and then fled to Spain and were caught. And I don't know, but I'm just saying there's a lot of these dudes. Some of them are not huge in Hollywood. Obviously fucking Brian Peck is, it's not like he's a household name that Hollywood's running on the power of Brian Peck. These people are all at sets. And it seems bad to me. And so I'm watching the Quiet on the Set with an eye towards, is there anything that further suggests a wide ring? And there was. Drake Bell talked about, one of the things that he detailed is that, the heartbreaking thing about this is the whole time his dad was stay away from that guy. I'm positive that if you give him 1 ounce of ability to do this, he's going to. And then, it was a divorce situation. Yep. And the Brian Peck actively poisoned Drake's mind against his dad, which is in the classic way that the pedophile's looking around for anyone that could be hey, stop that. And then being actually, I think he's bad. The mom.
And you're 13.
Yeah. The mom was just it's kind of a bitch to drive all the way. He says
he'll just stay at BP's house.
Yeah. He'd be it was a late audition. I don't want to go back right now. It'd be easier to do it in the morning. And so they had a party. Drake Bell had a birthday party, and Brian was I got a cool house. Let's just host it over here. And there was like a bunch of birthday cards. Like, so a bunch of Brian's friends, adult friends, came to the kid's birthday party and left like birthday cards that they didn't like say what specifically, but they're like, yeah, there's a bunch of lewd stuff in there. Not appropriate for children of that age. And so that's where I'm just like I think if one of them were Charlie Sheen, they would have said that in the documentary.
Yeah.
Although who knows, you know, given how often Sheen is hovering around these kinds of things, I'm surprised that I don't remember if it's Corey Feldman saying that Corey Haim's the one that died, right? Corey Feldman's the one that's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Corey Feldman saying that Corey Haim told him that he was abused as a child by Charlie Sheen. But that's the only like on the record someone saying Charlie Sheen involved in all this. But, you know, he hired Brian Peck on anger management.
It seems to me, too, that this is pretty common. Because I know a little bit more about the Drake Bell situation, whatever ends up coming out about Bieber. A lot of times, you know, these people, they replicate the same behavior.
Yeah.
Of yeah. abuse. And so, I mean, I don't know if that's the case with Charlie Sheen.
He said it was. Kind of
grow up around the industry.
Whatever he was going at Haim, he was like, my first big movie, this is what they did to me. I'm going to do it to you.
Yeah.
Maybe you could return the favor on another young star whenever you have the chance.
Yeah, it's a tradition.
There's a short clip. You know, obviously, they don't want to go too far into insubstantiated allegations. And believe it or not, he didn't sit down for an interview to talk about his experiences. But they have a clip in the documentary of Brian Peck, like, sensually massaging the shoulders of Leonardo DiCaprio whenever he's on. What was the – do you remember what show – Growing Pains or something. He was on some, like one of Leonardo DiCaprio's first role was a regular on a TV show. And Brian Peck also worked on that TV show. And I don't know, dude, you just, you watch this documentary and all the other fucking shit I'm into. And you just start to wonder, is there a single person, you know, like basically everything Cat Williams says. That in order for you to succeed in Hollywood, they're going to, or there was a clip that Jordan sent me that was great and evocative, and I don't think it was anything approaching true in a literal sense, but like it's getting at an idea of Taryn Manning, the lady on – she had a big role on Orange is the New Black, Pensatucky.
Okay, yeah.
And she's on a podcast being like, you know, they – I mean, I didn't get fame because they tried to make me drink the gold juice and I wouldn't do it. If you, in order to be famous, you got to drink this gold juice that they make you drink. And I just didn't want to drink it. I said, I don't know what will happen to me if I drink it. And I don't think that there is a literal ceremony where they concoct a potion for you.
A metaphor.
But, you know, I don't know, man. It seems to be a lot going around. It makes me nervous.
Yeah. And, obviously, over the last couple of weeks, there's been a bunch of actors that I'd never heard of but kind of recognize that are, you know, Rob Schneider. You seen Rob Schneider's stuff?
No. What's going on with Rob?
Oh, he
is. Is he involved in Happy Gilmore too?
Jesus Christ. This might have been a couple of years ago. It might have been a year ago. I don't know. But obviously, Rob Schneider's like trying to suckle at the teat of the hacky anti-wokeness thing.
Yes.
So you don't have to write any actual jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on something. It might have been like Larry King or something. Although it feels like that would be a little too official because Larry King's probably in on this. But he was just talking about.
I don't think like, Larry King's in on it. I when think he first started, good guys.
Yeah, he just was too busy with 8 marriages. He's like, look, I got enough on my hands.
Yeah. He's fighting his own battles.
But yeah, he was just taught, he's like, whenever I first started to pop a little bit, you know, I had to go to this director's hotel room a couple times and I didn't know that it was weird cause I'd never done it before. And he's in a robe and he asked me to, I think he said disrobe and like get down on all fours and crawl around. Like if you want the part, he had a couple other stories that it just, a lot of these people seem to have similar stories.
Yeah, you don't know if that's because there's like an archetype that gets around and they're all like, wow, that guy made that up and it really seemed to pop. I should make up something like that. But mm-hmm. or if just, you know, this is what happens. I mean, like, it's just not even remotely surprising. And things like, you know, like that Marilyn Monroe movie. I think the Marilyn Monroe movie is based on a book that Joyce Carol Oates wrote, imagining what it must have been like to be Marilyn Monroe. So I don't know that it's all supposed to be taken literally. But, like, I certainly believe that she was the movie basically says that, you know, like, she lived life in a catatonic state because essentially any time a man got in a room alone with her, he was attempting or succeeding at raping her.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I believe that.
I do too.
So, you know, we've gotten better, but if that's where it starts, just getting Rob Schneider to crawl around naked on all fours a couple times doesn't seem too wild.
Yeah, so Cat Williams, and I still need to go back and watch. Send me whatever I need to watch. Is it just Shannon Sharp?
No, I think he goes more. He went on Rogan, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I think that Rogan is where he starts to get more into. Like Cat or Shannon, he's just kind of like gesturing at it. He's mainly focused on letting you know how all the other comedians are lacking.
Well, I mean, he does actually say, like, if Diddy invites you to the party, don't go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, and he's definitely like, you know, they're trying to turn you gay. Everyone's trying to turn you gay. But and it's like the 50 Cent thing.
That's what I was going to get to.
Yeah, we're like, I don't know that I have a safe haven on either side. It appears that what's going on is there's a group of people, you know, attempting to do sex crimes on each other. And then there's another group of people that hate gay people and the idea of being gay and will beat you up for suggesting it. And yeah, I don't know that either of those characterize my views.
It's a tough spot.
Yeah.
They've really boxed this in here. But yeah, 50's been... God, dude. Apparently, he's been working on a documentary this whole time.
Oh, boy.
About Diddy.
God damn. Let's see
that. I think it's called Diddy Do It. I'm pretty sure. Let me confirm that.
I can't wait. I can't wait to watch that. God, I hope he follows through.
He says, let's see. Yeah, there's a poster right here. Diddy Do It. And it's, he says, this is going to break records when it drops on the caption. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've always been a huge 50 fan just because of, I mean, I still listen to Get Rich or Die Trying often.
Mm-hmm.
I just, that album is so fucking good, man. But never really kept, I wasn't a huge fan of anything he did after that musically, but just his demeanor is just, it's so good. Other than the homophobia.
yeah, we condemn. Is the movie Anatomy of a Fall on your radar at all? Have you heard about that?
No.
It was one of the best picture noms. It's It's set in France. It's made by French people. There is a decent amount of English speaking in the movie. But there's also plenty of subtitles. I don't want to lie to you.
I'm watching Shogun, dude.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm not watching Shogun. That looks
90%
like
in Japanese.
Is it good?
I like it, dude. I like it a lot.
Okay.
I mean, it's basically, you know, and I'm not obviously like, I saw a Jacobin article about this that got absolutely torn limb by limb apart online because it kind of ignored some serious historical context and I guess post-text.
Mm-hmm.
But it is one of the first shows that you'll see that displays the people who are being colonized, like, from their perspective. Like,
yeah.
The white guy is definitely the bad guy. And, like, he's, you know, complicated, but it's like it's historically accurate, you know? Like, it's about Portugal trying to conquer, or not conquer, but thinking that they own Japan. And England also hated Portugal. So they're trying to, like, convince them, hey, we both hate Portugal. They want your shit. I also want your shit, but I don't want them to have it. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I think just seeing, like, Japanese shots and, like, it kind of is like a crash course a little bit on Japanese culture. Yeah. I like it.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, Silence is about Portuguese-Japanese relations, and it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. And
Silence?
Yeah. That's what it's called, right? Yeah, yeah, Silence. The Martin Scorsese. I've ranted to you about this, how good this movie is before. It's Liam Neeson and Adam Driver, Andrew Garfield.
Okay, yeah, you said that.
Yeah, they're all priests trying to convert the Japanese to believe in the goodness of Jesus Christ. It'd be a great Easter weekend watch for anyone out
there. For sure. So Anatomy of a Fall?
In the first 5 minutes, it's a husband and wife. They have a son. They live in the Alps, and the son's coming back from a walk, and he walks up, and his dad has fallen. He's died. And, just the rest of the movie is about, was it a mistake or did the wife push him? And the reason why the wife is agitated, again, this is in the first 5 minutes, is she's trying to do, like a lady came to interview. The wife's like a semi-famous writer. And a college student came to interview her, and she's trying to conduct an interview. And the husband's feeling kind of pissy about it. So he's intentionally trying to sabotage it. And the way that he does that is he has an instrumental of PIMP that he plays on repeat at like 100 volume.
That's a nice touch.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking great. And then whenever once they get into the trial proceedings, and like, you should watch this, you would be blown away by how the French justice system works. I had not put any thought to the French justice system before, but like, that's most of the movie is like, it's a courtroom drama set in France. And like the way they do shit, I don't know if it's better or worse. I think it might be better, but it is very different from how we do it. And so like there's, scenes of them in the fucking trial, like breaking it down, like the student was recording the interview. So they're like, they're all just like in their fucking robes, like listening to PIMP on 100, whenever they won an award at the Oscars, like as they're coming up, the Oscars fucking they orchestras. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It was dope.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm interested. I'm interested in the French legal and justice system. But if you think that loudly playing clips of audio in the courtroom,
we do that too.
We definitely do that.
Yeah, yeah.
God, that was, oh my God.
Yeah, like no one likes listening back to themselves.
We barely even touched on that on the round table. Yeah, exactly.
So doing it in front of a judge is essentially the worst thing that can happen to a person.
That part I don't think about that much because it was kind of low. In hindsight, it's kind of funny. Dude, you know one thing we didn't say on the lawyer roundtable? I mean, I think we can say it, right? Like we touched on it, but when we were okay, so they gave us this binder of evidence, right? Mm-hmm. Like everything they had entered. And as I've told you, and we definitely touched on the general theme of this in the roundtables, was it was a binder. And it definitely said, like, they're going to play these three or four audio clips. I don't even remember if they played all of them, but they played a couple. And then, like we said, it was all just printed out copies of emails and screenshots of Reddit where people were bitching about Cumulus.
Which is nuts. Like, imagine building a fucking legal case on that. But
yeah, whatever. And as I said on the round table, I was like, this is just Monday. Like, oh, they got some hate mail. Like, somebody said that they suck. Like, dude, people who pay for the Dumb Zone Patreon, they pay us. And when I go to the comments there, shit on us. So if you think that, like, the general public, like, of course. I just assume everyone who listens to The Ticket knows that you're getting 5 to 10 emails or DMs a day. If you're, like, hosting, I would imagine, at least, that are where people are like, that sucked, you suck. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
If you go to Reddit, you're going to see tons of stuff about how it's just negative stuff.
Yeah.
But the funniest part was a couple of the different screenshots they had from Reddit, they didn't crop it.
Mm-hmm.
They just took the screenshot. Like, how fucking ridiculous. They took the full screenshot. And
yeah, you got to do Shift-Command-4 instead of Shift-Command-3.
Or just put the whole screenshot up there, but, like, redact some of the other topics.
Yeah.
Because they would leave other topics up there where people were, like, complaining about stuff. Like, not just that we were gone. Mm-hmm. And one of them, and I want to say as a pretext, I like Matt McLaren. I honestly do. Like, I liked working with him. He's a friendly guy. He's obviously weird. He owns that. He owns the fact that he likes younger women. I don't believe that he's ever engaged in any sort of act that was illegal. I'm not going to let you speak on this. I'm just going to say I like the guy. Obviously, I'm not. I think, like everybody does, it's weird to be into younger women of that age. I don't think he's done anything illegal. That's his whatever. You're on your own there.
But that's the nicest thing you can say about a guy that's.
I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a cool dude.
I also think he's a nice guy.
I like working with him. But one of the things that they left in there was I can't believe they made a pedophile a host.
The judge just stops that. What's this about?
And it was up. I don't think she was like.
Is there anything else I need to look into here?
I don't think she was particularly paying attention. And I don't think our lawyers were either.
Yeah.
We just looked at like, okay, what? Like, this is a thread about this. And so they put it up on the screen and I've got the binder in my hand. And I like kind of elbowed Frank and I just like did the like finger under the line thing. And I just underlined that. And then I pointed at the screen and I'm like, that's up there right now.
That's fucking crazy.
Oh, man. I kind of memory hold that. But, yeah, it was – anyways, I don't know how I got on that. Oh, courtroom.
Yeah. I have not yet. I started to, but I haven't even gotten to this part. But I read this stuff and it seemed nuts and it all feels of a piece with the general topics we're discussing on the show today. But I was sent another clip of Club Shay Shay when he talked to Ric Flair. Have you seen any clips of Ric Flair?
Is this recent?
I think it was like 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay.
It wasn't like this week or anything. Where Ric Flair's saying some wild shit. And like, I think that he went on Theo Von's show. And again, I didn't listen to it, but I did listen to him talking to Hulk Hogan. And whenever he's talking to Hulk Hogan, he's like, dude, Ric Flair is off his rocker. And then Brick ran into him. And also said, that guy is off his rocker. And so, you know, whenever someone sends me a clip of, I think it was Jordan, sent me a clip of Ric Flair saying crazy stuff, I was like, damn, Ric Flair's off his rocker. He's like, you know, I was stolen as a baby. I fucking went and read about it, you know, because anytime I see something crazy, I'm like, well, you know, let's investigate and like, should be easy to debunk this. No, dude, Ric Flair was stolen as a baby.
Whoa.
There was a lady, her name's Georgia Tan, that ran a a foster home in Memphis that this was, I think, started in like the 20s. And I believe the investigation, like she died right after they started investigating it. But I think that was the 50s. So from like the 20s to the 50s. She was large scale fucking basically snatching kids and taking money from, it was usually like rich families in like New York or California. And like at the time in Tennessee, you like couldn't even take money for adoptions at all. Like just accepting any money was illegal. And she, you know, nothing she was doing was legal. And she had like she was giving kickbacks to a judge. So that like anytime the judge would like have something come up in her family court where, you know, it'd be like, oh, the mom drinks a little bit. All right. Yeah, we're going to give this kid up for adoption. And like, dude, the fucking villainy, it's staggering. It was a regular course of action for her to like, it's always single mothers, you know, like if you've got a regular family showing up to the hospital, then she's not going to try anything crazy. But it's, you know, the society at the time, you know, the fucking lowest thing you could be was a single mother. They had no rights. No one listened to them. No one cared if they had problems. Like, you know, they just had no recourse for justice in anything whatsoever. So she would, like, you know, if your kid, like, was going to the NICU or whatever, she would just come back and be like, yeah, it was pneumonia. They died. We actually already buried them. So you can go home now if you want. And she's fucking stealing the kid, selling them to some family in New York.
Jesus.
Joan Crawford, who the movie Mommy Dearest that Bob always quotes.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that it was that I remembered all that right. So for the first time in my entire life, I watched the scene. It's on YouTube that he is quoting.
I've seen it, of course.
Yeah. Whenever I was reading about the movie, I guess it won like all kinds of Razzies, like widely regarded as one of the worst movies ever put to film.
Mm-hmm.
And watching that scene, I can see what they're getting at. Those people are not very gifted at acting. They're overdoing it a little bit. But that movie is about, like, the girl, the woman whose experience is based on is a Georgia Tan baby. Like, Joan Crawford paid for, you know, I mean, like, I don't know. I would suspect that none of the parents are, like, aware that these are stolen children. You know, they're probably just, like, thought it was irregular. You know, like, mom didn't think she could handle it. So, you know, find a good family, whatever. But yeah, she, you know, Joan Crawford bought a stolen baby and then, surprise, surprise, mistreated the child their entire life.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking insane.
It actually says Georgia Tan's baby kidnapping operation.
That's what it was. She, like, had a systematic fucking, I'm going to snatch kids, sell them to the highest bidder. She made, you know, in excess of $1 million. Like, they're always making checks out to, like, shell corporations that are just her bank account. Like, yeah, all this was just personal gain. You know, and this fucking humble servant to the state, I think she had like a mansion or whatever. And, you know, she never had any children. She adopted some kids herself. She was living with another woman most of her life. And they kind of seem to say that the sentiment turned about this during her lifetime. That it used to be that if people saw two women living together, they'd be like, oh, that's nice. You know, like I obviously it'd be fucking insane for a woman to live by herself. So at least they're not doing that. And then over the course of her life, they started getting wise. They're like, hey, I think they might be lesbians. and so then people started to get more touchy about it. But I don't know. I don't think I'm sure she faced some things in her life about it, but whatever. I don't know the details. But yeah, so Ric Flair was kidnapped as a baby. I didn't know.
Dan was telling us a story the other day that in his, like, I can't remember what it was called. It's not like, I don't think it was just sexual studies, but now we'd probably call it gender studies,
mm-hmm.
which I took at UNT in grad school. But his version of it was, you know, however long ago this was, 30, 35 years ago, was they just brought in a lesbian.
Great. That's awesome. Dude, they should do that now.
Like, she was just but I mean, I think now, you know, people know them, you know people. So maybe it would still be helpful in some schools, but yeah, he said that they were just like, hey, there was a student that the professor knew was a lesbian and they just like brought her in like a zoo animal. And they're just like, all right, fire away. You know,
like, obviously that's fucking crazy, but I don't know. Especially if I was a college student, I would have loved that opportunity. Like, and it's probably good, you know, like, especially if you haven't been exposed to this before, to just be like, oh, just a regular person, you know?
Yeah.
Appeared to be having
that the lady cool was life. Like, you know, there are a lot of us here. Just plant that little seed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is nuts. Then I just want to, I don't know. I wish whenever this story breaks, I just wish that there's a lot more, like, I imagine that you have a softly positive view of this guy, but I don't have like podcast clips of you going to the mat about how great he is. And that's too bad. But, you know, I just want to check in and see how you're doing with Andrew Huberman being taken down.
You know, I'm all right. I can't say that I've ever actually consumed Huberman's podcast. I've watched some clips on that get posted on Twitter from his podcast or from TikTok. But no, I mean, I think this is much more of a you thing. So this is an interesting play on your part.
I've listened to one episode. I heard everything that he had to say about ketamine for no reason. Back to you.
No, I mean, yeah, I like cold water because it makes my skin feel good. I like Athletic Greens because it makes my tummy feel good.
Dude, did you read the article?
Not yet.
They go hard at AG1, dude.
Saying it's fake?
Yeah. They're like all kinds of doctors that are like, how could this possibly fucking work? Like, just think about this. Their big thing was attacking that there are so many active ingredients. Because then, like, how could you be taking very much of any of them? If there's 75 things in, like, the little powder, then, like, each of them has to be in tiny, tiny amounts. And then, like, what effect could it possibly be having?
Psychological.
Yeah.
Probably nothing more.
Yeah, the thing that I've seen, this is one of the standard topics for podcast, which is why I'm glad we waited till 50 minutes in to do it. And we're not, you know, building the entire empire around this. But in the podcast coverage I've heard of it, everyone does focus on one of the things that I was really inclined to focus on, which is the revelation that he would respond to every nude with, hi there.
Yeah, that he looks like a guy who would do that.
Yeah, I'm just excited to, you know, include that into my lexicon. And, you know, if someone sends me a cool pic of their food, things of this nature.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit on our last episode, didn't we?
I don't think it had come up then.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, we were talking about it off the air the other day. Yeah.
My point off the air was this is the classical worst case scenario for anyone who's ever cheated. Like every time you cheat, you're like, boy, I hope no one finds out about this. And I really hope there's never a front page magazine cover story about all the women I've ever cheated on getting a group text. They're planning a fucking summer trip together, dude.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's nightmare fuel.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the guy like has some, I mean, you could probably say this about a lot of the people we've talked about before. I don't know where the line between abusing power and being too high and mighty, because he was all over the place, right? It wasn't like it was one person. He didn't have an affair. He was all over the map.
He was leading six separate lives.
Yeah, so it's like, is he an addict? Maybe.
He says he's a love addict.
Okay, yeah.
He's not a sex addict. He's a love addict, which like, honestly, I think that gets at something. And the way that he was conducting these things, it's not like he was, you know, like aggressively seeking one-off sexual encounters. Like he's telling each of the women about how they're exclusive and how he's excited to build the relationship with them. And like all of it is centered around like, I can't wait for our life together with like all six. Yeah. So, you know, I think he's characterizing himself fairly. I'll take that. It does still appear to be destructive. And like, it's your classic. I don't want to speak for you and I don't really want to reveal much about myself. But I do suspect that every single person alive, that if they've been, you know, in a relationship for long and a magazine reporter came to their partner and said, do you have anything that's ever happened that you could frame it in a certain way where it looked like they might be a terribly abusive piece of shit?
Sure.
I don't want to see how that would go for me.
Yeah.
Just, you know, framing's important. And also I'm a flawed person who's made mistakes. Who isn't? The mix of those things could be bad in a New York Magazine cover story. But yeah. I don't know. His suck for sure. They look so bad. Just like the kinds of things that Jonah Hill stood accused of weaponizing therapy language, you know, like that whenever he's like gets caught cheating, his like, baby comeback is like, I'm prepared to do the repair work in this relationship.
Yeah. And I think it's worse, like, because he's, I mean, I don't really know the guy's whole bit, but I have a pretty good idea of what it is. And it's kind of like I have all the answers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I would say that that does not, I mean, obviously that does not help. Like, if something
it's the crux of the whole thing.
With me or you, they'd be like, well, yeah, this guy's fucked up. Like, he talks about it all the time. Like, we all know this guy's got problems.
Yeah, the guy whose public image is that he's a mess.
Yeah,
believe
exactly.
it or not, he's a mess.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm not buying that magazine.
Mr. Vampire Mode doesn't have a perfect life.
Yeah, so I think that's your problem there. It's
yeah.
And the thing about religion that's cool, though, is you can be that guy, and then when the downfall comes, it's pretty easy to move through it. Like, you got a kind of a built-in thing. We're like, hey, remember we were talking about forgiveness like a month ago? I was up here talking about it. You guys were stoked on it. Well, now it's my turn. Gonna need a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I remember a couple of, it was maybe a couple years ago, we had a story about, it was at a church. And I believe there was a woman who, when she was a teen maybe, had been abused by this pastor. And she had a lot of receipts. And she showed up at church with those receipts and started yelling at him during the during like a sermon.
Yeah.
Do you recall this vaguely?
Yes, yes. Only and vaguely, but yes.
The church like immediately went and like started like group hugging the guy.
Oof.
Even as I think he might have admitted it and been like, I made mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, when I abused this child, it was tough. You know?
It wasn't like
I was being tested.
They were not hurrying to him to provide him emotional support in the vein of these are false allegations.
No.
It was like, okay, some of us probably knew this did happen.
We love our pedophile priest.
And they went and like protected him with hugs.
Yeah.
Huberman's not getting protected with hugs.
Yeah, no, I don't know there's a lot of comfort for him in this story, but there's definitely comfort for me. It's exciting the main time I'm familiar with his work is I did listen to the entire time that he was on Two Bears, One Cave. And, you know, you just get in this, like, he's just hitting you with all this advice. It just feels like if he can know these many like good practices and habits, then it suggests that there's like so many more that I don't know, let alone like fucking act out in my life. You know, it just makes me feel like I'm living life the wrong way. Like that I, you know, and like, I guess the good news is I can start listening to this podcast and try and do it. But like, that's not going to happen. I'm just going to live in the regret of knowing that there were solutions out there that I am not taking advantage of and maybe have set myself up in such a way that I can't take advantage of. And that's all very regretful. So finding out that actually he's just full of shit and he's a fucking compulsive person that's just like bouncing from fucking lady to lady being like, you're the one. Those other girls are crazy.
But he may have convinced himself of that.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
But again, I want to be clear.
It's a pretty big deception. He knows cold so water, much more than they do. He
cold water is good for you.
Yeah. No, but not
meditation.
So,
meditation is good for you.
I'm sure you're right, but it's not so good that it'll stop you. Like,
of course not.
I think that some of the. Like, whenever people say, like, do cold plunges, like, they're never trying to leave you with the impression that, like, the only thing that matters here is that it will make your immune system better. Like, it's the like, light implication is that, like, you will achieve a higher plane of existence if you follow enough of these suggestions.
That's fair.
And having that, like, be revealed as clearly false, that, like, I don't want this guy's life fucking not remotely. And you read the article. I don't think he wants his life, you know, like I don't think this is his like well-considered fucking way to do things. And you know, it's nice, you know, like it, I don't, even if I had taken up all those suggestions, I'd still be back, you know, at best where he is. I don't know. It makes it easier for me to accept myself and the choices that I've made and, you know, just looking around and being like, this is pretty good. This is good enough. It's nice.
That's a good place to be, TC.
I'm committed to my wife.
And to hot water.
And the hot water showers. It's working out all right.
All right. Well, good times, man. I'm excited for the birthday party tomorrow. And by that, I mean I'm going to bring a gun.
Oh, I think they got rules against bringing guns into the children's play areas.
But it's a tricky situation because I want to see my daughter play with your daughter.
But you want to shoot someone?
But I don't want my son there, and I don't have another option. So
yeah. It's fine. He'll love it. Dude,
you're going to see tomorrow.
I hope to, dude.
You're going to see.
I'm prepared to match the energy. I'll do a cold punch beforehand. It'll be fine.
You better. You better. Right now, my son is basically Shane Gillis on the plane, on the plane sketch. Like, he's in the plane, on the phone. Yeah. 15 minutes. You better start stretching because I'm coming down there and I'm going to wear your ass out. Fuck you. Dude, he will be a terror tomorrow. I'm predicting it.
I'm excited for that. I like that. That's fun.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it.
All right,
man. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
See ya.
That's it for tonight. The high school special is next. So until tomorrow, for everyone who's been a part of this one,
I'm TC and Jake.
We do thank you for watching. Good night.